You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Tim McMaster here, along with Brittany Giroli, our MLB.com Orioles reporter. Brittany, it's good to be back here doing the Orioles podcast. Thanks for joining us. And some stuff to talk about here as we get kind of slowly getting into the hot stove season. The GM meetings were this week. The winter meetings, obviously, still a little less than a month away. But things are starting to heat up. It was also awards week. And for the Orioles, that meant Trey Mancini was a finalist for Rookie of the Year in the American League. He ends up finishing third, which I think is fair. Aaron Judge, obviously, the runaway unanimous winner. Andrew Benintendi of the Red Sox finishes second. So the top three all out of the American League East. But Mancini, of those guys, I think is the biggest surprise as far as being a finalist. He had a nice run, obviously, when he first came up at the end of 2016. But I don't know if anybody expected him to do what he did in 2017. What stood out the most to you about Mancini?
I think, like you said, no one expected it. He completely exceeded expectations at every turn, honestly. A guy like Trey Mancini forced his way onto the opening day roster and then kind of forced his way into an everyday role. And what people miss is he was playing a new position. He learned the outfield. He was a better defender than given credit for. He was a better runner than people gave him credit for. I just think that he's a guy who's going to out-try other guys. He might not have the talent that comes with some of these top prospects. He was never thought to be a top prospect for the Orioles, but he kind of methodically advanced at every level, and he had success at every minor league level leading up to what he was able to do this year. So I think when you look at his career, you're not that surprised, but in the grand scheme of things, when you look at a guy like Trey Mancini and what he's been able to do, I think it sends a really positive message for the Orioles, the rest of that organization, that if you're a prospect, if you continue to do well, you're going to get an opportunity. They're a team that's never been afraid to give some of these guys opportunities. It's just a matter of what you do with it. And with Trey Mancini, he never went into a slump. He had such a consistent year. And, you know, obviously Judge had an MVP type of season. And so it's unfortunate that he didn't get Mancini, didn't get kind of the credit that maybe he would in any other year. But I think for him, being named a finalist at least kind of opened up people's eyes to what he was able to do, because no question about it, outside of possibly second baseman Jonathan Scope, he was their most consistent guy. He was batting cleanup, Trey Mancini, at certain points of the year, and that just speaks volumes. The guy who they weren't even sure was going to make the team ends the season batting cleanup. I'm really looking forward to see how he follows up on that season.
Yeah, cleanup on a team with all those big boppers in the lineup as well. He's the first Oriole to finish in the top three since Daniel Cabrera back in 2004. Brittany, does that say more about where the Orioles system has been in recent years, or is the Rookie of the Year more of just a lot of luck just because a lot of guys use up their eligibility the year before they get a full season and kind of take their time getting adjusted to the major leagues? What do you think? Is there anything we can draw from the fact that it's been so long since they had a finalist?
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head with the organization. I mean, you can say, you know, certain things like it's, you know, it's tough to get eligibility and all that. But honestly, they haven't really been able to produce those top-end prospects. And you look at some of these other teams, these rival clubs, the Yankees spring to mind immediately as a team that's been able to do that. And I think if the Orioles are going to have a fighting chance, they're going to need to hit on more guys like Trey Mancini in order to even the playing field. So to me, it's more a reflection of their minor league system, where it's been. And even guys like Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy, who were well-touted, have made contributions at the major league level, have had their ups and downs. So it just shows you how tough it is, I think, too, to kind of come up as a rookie and play as well as Trey Mancini did. But certainly the Orioles are going to need at least to have some of their guys in consideration a little bit more over the next few years. That means you're doing something right.
And when you look to the future, I think if you look at this organization right now as opposed to maybe a year ago or 18 months ago, most people would say that it is looking better than it was. And the Arizona Fall League is also always a place where you see a lot of prospects. Tanner Scott has impressed for the Orioles. At the Fall Stars game, he was very good, and he throws 100 miles an hour. He also has a great slider. Brittany, what have you heard about Scott? And I mean, I don't think he's a guy who's going to be ready to go right away, but how far away do the Orioles think he is?
Not far. He's a guy who, you know, you've heard about that big fastball. His triple digits on many occasions. is a guy who has that really impressive heater. The thing that's been good for him and his development is developing those secondary pitches, really having an arsenal. You need two pitches up here if you're going to be a reliever. They haven't ruled out him being a starter and putting him in the rotation because, let's be honest, they need all the starting rotation help they can get, certainly. But with a guy like Scott, I think ultimately a lot of people feel like that stuff, that plus fastball, is going to play in short stints best in the bullpen. But he's had an okay, you know, if you look at the stats, kind of an okay Arizona Fall League. But he did have a really impressive performance in their AFL All-Stars game. And I know a lot of people kind of wrote into me after I wrote about that wondering, well, you know, this is such a small sample size, so shouldn't we look at some of these other guys who are doing better? But I think with the Arizona Fall League, you kind of have to take into account what the scouts are watching, what they're seeing. And keep in mind, he was invited to the All-Star game for a reason. So when you look at Tanner Scott, you look at some of these young kids who pitch in the Arizona Fall League and who pitch in these All-Star games, they're not that far off from the major league. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tanner Scott comes spring training as a guy that they're really evaluating and looking at, not for the future, but for now, and seeing where he's locked in.
All right, when you look at this team heading into the offseason, obviously there are some holes in that rotation that need to be filled. Now, Chris Tillman has been so good over the years for the Orioles, yet struggled so much in 2017. Maybe, just maybe, that could help the Orioles if they want to maybe bring him back. Because Tillman has, and we talked about this before we started, Brittany, this is no surprise that Chris Tillman is talking about signing a one-year deal because he has to recreate a market for himself after having such struggles. But do you think because of that, because he's willing to take that one-year deal, and it's not a big commitment for any team that's taking a chance on him, the Orioles are more likely to be involved in maybe bringing him back?
Yeah, I certainly think that they would listen. I mean, they love kind of those kind of contracts, Dan Duquette, the kind of finding those guys in the bargain basement, so to speak. And Tillman would certainly be a bargain. He wouldn't command a whole lot of money, like you said, coming off kind of a horrific year, really the worst year of his career. Said he was healthy, and really it was just a disappointment. So I think him knowing the Orioles, the Orioles knowing him, they feel like maybe he would be a guy to take a gamble on. Or maybe he wants somewhere with a fresh start. When you look at Tillman, he was such a stand-up guy. He was so honest about his struggles, and you knew it was killing him. But I do think he's going to end up getting that one-year deal somewhere and getting that chance to prove himself. I mean, this is a not a great market to be in when you want to add three starters, which is what the Orioles have to do. So I know fans will be upset if they add Chris Tillman back and say, this is what we're trying to do. And fans will kind of respond with, well, this guy was horrible last year and we need to make upgrades. But the Orioles can't go out, Tim, and buy three top-of-the-line starters. They just simply don't have that kind of money, and it's just not a feasible option. So certainly looking at a guy like Tillman, a guy who has performed well, maybe looking at this past season as an aberration, I think they have to at least consider the prospect of bringing him back again, but not automatically assuming he's going to take a spot. I think realistically, they've got to add four or five guys who they envision for those three spots.
Are we going to hear throughout this entire hot stove season Manny Machado rumors and thoughts about the possibility of him being traded with 1 year left on that deal?
We are. We are going to hear Manny Machado rumors until Manny Machado is either signed with the Orioles long term or is somewhere else long term. So, you know, it's been like that for about the past year. It's going to continue to heat up. There's no indications the Orioles want to trade him. Look, their window is still right now. They feel like if they add some pitching that they can win with this team. And if they can't win with this team, by the time they really look at selling, you're talking about the trade deadline. And, you know, then Manny's pretty close to free agency. Maybe you don't get the kind of deal that you would like for him, but that would kind of be the case there. I do think the closer he gets to free agency, the less likely it becomes that he ends up staying with the Orioles long term. I just think it becomes a situation where they can't possibly afford to keep him and the kind of record money that people think it's going to take to keep him. So you're going to hear a lot of trade rumors. But I think they'd have to be totally blown away to consider moving him. If you're trying to win now, you don't trade one of the best players in baseball. It's kind of similar to Angels fans who have kind of been complaining over the years about why not just trade Mike Trout, because that is just a huge, gigantic hole that you can't just fill. The Orioles don't have another Manny Machado. They don't have a new third baseman of the future. You're talking about a young guy still probably with his best years ahead of him. I think it would be foolish to trade him. But again, you know how the rumor mill goes. We're going to hear two things, I can promise you, Tim. Manny Machado rumors, and the Orioles are going to be rumored in any starting pitcher that breathes. That is my prediction for this winter.
All right. And we'll talk about it week after week right here on the podcast. All right. That brings us to the last thing I wanted to talk about. It is we head into Thanksgiving week. So I wanted to talk about things that Orioles fans should be thankful for. And why don't we start with Manny Machado? Because despite all those rumors, he's probably going to start the season, at least in an Orioles uniform. And what a privilege it is to see this guy play, right, and hit.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you got to be thankful for, and something that, you know, Orioles fans 10, 20, 30 years from now will be able to tell their kids and grandkids that they saw him. They saw him play in the prime of his career. They saw him at Camden Yards turn plays that nobody could turn. So that's got to be one of them. And then, of course, Camden Yards. How can you not be thankful as an Oriole fan to have that ballpark, the ballpark that forever changed baseball, celebrated its 25th anniversary? It doesn't seem nearly as old. You know, I travel a lot. I go to a lot of different ballparks, and I think it makes you appreciate more how great Camden Yards is, and the atmosphere there when the team is playing well. It's just second to none. It's a really, really special, special place. So that's got to be really high, probably number two on Orioles Thanksgiving list. And I think probably the third one would have to be having Orioles manager Buck Showalter take that job several years ago. I think people, you can't really question the fact that he's been able to turn this organization around. They had their first winning season under him in, you know, more than a decade. They were able to go to the postseason several times. They won the American League East. They've really turned it around. Kind of similar to what Houston was able to do. They kind of reminded me a little bit of Houston this year, just kind of coming full circle. No, they haven't won the World Series under Buck, but this was a team that was very much the laughing stock of their division. Now you know what you're going to get with Orioles manager Buck Showalter's team. You know they're going to play hard. They're a team that has kind of gotten rid of a lot of those excuses. So I think those are the three things. If you're sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner, you're an Orioles fan that you got to be thankful for. You watch Manny play, you got Camden Yards at your home, and if Buck decided, you know what, I'll give Baltimore a shot, I'll take this job.
All right, great stuff, Brittany. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.